Okay, good morning again. Magandang umaga po. We acknowledge the presence of Pastor Derek and his group. We appreciate your coming. We just sang from our hymn. The third stanza says, "Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in His holy name." Ang question natin sa series na ito, does that any place include the classroom? We are taking a break this month from our long series on Christian holiness in order to focus, because of the school opening in UPLB, we are focusing on the Christian student. He must be excellent and committed. And we are asking the question, can one be both? Sa nakaraang dalawang weeks, we listened to our two national academicians explain in very practical terms why a Christian student should be both excellent and committed. Now, my purpose in this concluding lesson is to argue theologically and biblically why it should be so. Why should a Christian student be both excellent and committed? So may mga hanging questions sa marami, parang hindi yata kaya na you are both excellent and committed. Now, let us first begin with the definition of terms. Pag sinabi nating excellent, what do we mean? I kept repeating myself, excellent does not mean outstanding. Outstanding is comparative. Yung nangingibabaw ka. Hindi ka kailangan mangibabaw, hindi iyon ang hinihingi sa isang Kristiyanong estudyante. By excellent, we mean someone who does his studies to the best of his gifts. So that's what we are asking. That is what we are expecting of Christian students. According to the gifts God has given to you, you do your best. Nothing more is asked. Hindi sinasabi na first honor ka, dapat cum laude ka, or ano pa mang honors. The honors are bonuses, but they are not what is demanded of the Christian student. All that is demanded ay ginagawa mo ayon sa kaloob na ibinigay sa iyo ng Panginoon, at talagang binibigay mo ang pinakamainam. You are doing your best. Now, when it comes to commitment, a person who is committed, a Christian who is committed, means that he is living his Christian life with faithfulness. Now, may mga sukatan yan. Paano natin masasabi that a Christian is living his Christian life faithfully? There are, of course, private means, private measures, which I would include in the minimum should be your prayer life and your meditation of Scripture. I mean, if you are not doing that, at the very least na mga requisites of the Christian life that is faithful, then you are not faithful, period. On the private level, you must be a prayerful person and one who meditates upon the Word of God. However you do it in your system, but there must be at least these two, and there are other things. Then, on the public level, there is, of course, the church. You are faithful in the church, and that you are at least involved in a ministry of the church, because the picture of the church in the New Testament is an all-member involvement. Yung idea na a member is not at all involved in anything that the church does is an anomaly. That is not the New Testament picture. The New Testament picture is that every member has a gift to contribute to the progress of the body, and that is what we expect of members. Kaya ang thesis natin dito ay that a Christian student should be both excellent and committed. And when it comes to our church, I hope you agree with me that our church provides both the teaching and the venue. So yata ang first meeting ng Reformed Christian Ministry natin this semester. So we have the venue where people can get involved, students can get involved, and I hope you can say there is teaching in the church. Natuturuan kayo sa iglesia ng mga pagtuturong, dapat kayo magpakahusay sa inyong ginagawa bilang estudyante. In fact, you are receiving more teaching than I ever got in my young years as a student, and I'll explain that further. So Ang tingnan natin ngayon ay una, why can a Christian, why are there Christians who apparently are committed but not excellent? And then babalikta rin natin, why are some Christians apparently excellent but not committed? We will look at the views that drive this imbalance, and then we will look at the proper balance of the scripture. So unang tingnan natin ay committed but not excellent. Palagi siya nasa church, involved siya sa mga ministry, he can be reliable when he is asked a duty, a task in the church, gagawin niya, pero lousy performance in the academics, mediocre, parang baliwala sa kanya. Well, usually, merong view na nabubuo sa kanya na dapat nating hamunin. And that is an unbalanced view on worldliness. Ito yung naipalaki sa akin bilang batang Kristiyano. Tinuruan kami na expect the rewards of God through your soul winning, through your church involvement, through the ministry. And things in the world are, what else? Worldly. So yan ang naituro sa amin. So ang idea is hyper-spiritual teaching, meaning spirituality means involvement in heavenly things. Kagayang may sinabi si Martin Luther na about a certain woman, she is so heavenly minded that she is no earthly good. May mga ganyan na so heavenly minded, walang pakinabang sa kanya ang mundo. At may ganyang pagtuturo. Lumaki ako sa ganyang pagtuturo na ang tingin mo sa mundo, sa eskwelahan, sa gobyerno, sa lipunan, ay makamundo. Nasa ilalim ng hatol ng Diyos. Puno ng kasalanan. Eh bakit ka makikipagpunyagi sa mga bagay ng mundo? That is all worldliness. So, achievement therefore in a worldly status is something that God does not accept. Again, this is real teaching circulating in many churches. So, wala siyang pakialam na hindi siya nag-a-achieve sa mundo. Ang kagalakan niya ay involved siya sa church, involved siya sa ministry, involved siya sa mga Bible study at soul winning. And it doesn't matter to him because he can dismiss whatever achievement he doesn't have as just worldly. And he is just after the pleasure of God. Now, we need to answer this. First, una, totoong sabihin natin, the world is fallen in sin. And that is a fact. There is sin everywhere you look at in this world. And that includes the academy. There is sin that affects the academy, especially when it uses its knowledge to rebel against God, to destroy some basic premises of humanity. Nabanggit ko sa inyo last week, in some hospitals in the United States, the policy now is not to announce the gender of the newborn baby. You can no longer say it's a boy, it's a girl, because their premise is let the boy or let the girl choose when that person has enough age. Because their idea is that sexual orientation and gender identity is the choice of the person. That goes against every basic and fundamental premise of humanity. I mean, it's just lunacy if you ask me. So may ganyan talaga sa mundo. But let us also add the fact that the world is still God's creation. At sa Panginoon pa rin ang mundong ito. Ito ay nilalang niya, nasa pangangalaga niya, nasa pagkakalinga niya. And to deny it is to be ungrateful to the God who sends rain, who sends sunlight, who sends everything that sustains life on this earth. So, the fact of God's creation. And huwag mo nating kalimutan din, this world is full of God's common grace. Ano ang common grace? Common grace are blessings from God short of salvation. But they are still called grace because they are undeserved. Sinners do not deserve to be sustained with knowledge, sustained with health, sustained with advancement. These are all blessings of God. So they are grace. And the world is full of that. Nakikinabang tayo sa kaalaman ng mga hindi mananampalataya. And to say na unbeliever siya, well, hindi ako dapat mag-absorb ng kanilang mga sinasabi, is a short-sighted understanding of how God blesses the world with common grace. Yung mga natututunan mo sa teacher na maaring atheist, pero magaling siya sa science, magaling siya sa math, magaling siya sa kanyang subject, that is still common grace. Hindi komot atheist ay he is already cast out. Mangyayari yon in the future, but right now, God is sustaining him with knowledge. So this is what we need to understand. 1 Timothy 4 says, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is concentrated by the word of God and prayer." Yung context niyan ay doon sa mga physical sustenance, food, or even in terms of physical relationship in marriage, ang mga mag-abstain daw dyan o magtuturo to abstain from these things, what did Paul call them? Doctrines of demons. They're demonic. Instead, there should be thankfulness for what we receive in this world. So kung mapapasalamatan natin ng pagkain, mapapasalamatan natin ng kaalaman. Maging manggaling man yan sa isang unbeliever, sa isang akademya that is driven by unbelief, and yet it has knowledge, it's something we can receive with thanksgiving. So yung mga estudyante rito, pag kayo may natututunan, parang nagpapasalamat kayo bago kayo kumain, meron ding pagpapasalamat sa iyong natututunan sa akademya. So that's one thing that drives Christians who may be committed but are not striving after excellence because of an unbalanced view on worldliness. Then, another is they are untaught about vocation. Ibig sabihin, yung kanilang ginagawa, kung ano yung ginagawa nila ngayon, ay panawagan ng Diyos na gawin nila sa kanyang pangalan. Yan ang ibig sabihin ng vocation. Remember, this is one of the key discoveries of the Reformation. Sometimes we think of the Reformation as about sola fide, sola scriptura. Yes, they are the central tenets of the Reformation. But one of those that they discovered was the concept of vocation. Because before the Reformation, vocation was only priesthood. Then the Reformation happened and they discovered from scriptures that whatever you do for God, even if you are not in the ministry, is a vocation for God. So yung hindi natuturoan tungkol sa vocation, ang akala nila sa pagiging godly is in the church. So godliness is identified with church activities. So it is godly to worship, it is godly to have a Bible study, it is godly to have fellowship. But outside the church, when you are in a study group or doing your experiment, hindi na godly yun. Walang pagtuturo tungkol sa vocation. Then, their idea of witness is soul winning. Hindi nila naiisip yung testimony about your work. Testimony about your study. Sa kanila, witness is win souls. Again, ganyan ang naituro sa akin. Mayroon pa kaming quota card noon. Ilan ang napareceive mo kay Christ sa isang school day. At sinasabi nila na yun ang magbibigay ng value sa pag-aaral mo if you have won someone to Christ. And again, I really regret that I wasn't taught better in my youth. That's why I made a mess of my UP Diliman years. Baka naging national academician, eh, hindi mangyayari yun. Pero I made a mess of my college days because of this teaching. Kaya I really detest this teaching because of what it is making of Christian students. Now, ang sagot natin dito, academic study is vocation. Kayong mga estudyante na mga Kristiyano, yan ang vocation ninyo ngayon. Ibig sabihin, that is what God is calling you to do. And you better do it right. You better do it well. Dahil vocation means accountability to God. Mananagot kayo sa Panginoon. Sisingilin ng Panginoon kung paano ninyo ginawa ang panawagan niya. So, don't ever think that going to school is a sort of intermission from church activity. So, parang kapaguran. School week na naman. At sabik na sabik ka sa church. Magandang sabik ka sa church, pero kung isipin mo yung school days mo ay parang an unwelcome intermission to your church fellowship, that is a very wrong idea. And consider that knowledge uses God's creation and revelation. Ano mang knowledge yan? Math, science, art? Ang ginagamit yan ay mga nilikha ng Diyos. Hindi man kinikilala ng mga hindi mananampalataya, unbelievers do not recognize that what they are studying in astronomy, in geography, in geology, whatever it is, they are using God's creation. They don't acknowledge that. But you are a Christian, and you must acknowledge that whatever it is you are studying God's creation. And therefore, you take it seriously. And then, our concept of general revelation. General revelation means that through His creation, God speaks to everyone, to all mankind. So that, according to Romans 1, no one is without excuse. Ibig sabihin, ang Kristiyano ang mas lalong may dahilan na magseryoso sa kanyang pag-aaral because he is looking at God's creation and God's revelation. So this is what Colossians 3 says. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, in the immediate context, it is about slaves. But imagine, if slaves could be exhorted this way, how much more free men and women like you and me? That we are to do everything we do with all our heart as to the Lord. So if a slave can do his menial tasks for the Lord, how much more the student in his studies? Dapat gawin natin para sa Panginoon, treat your studies as vocation. May ikatlong dahilan na a Christian can be committed but not excellent. Itong unang dalawa is a problem of view, a problem of concept. Ang ikatlo ay problem of undisciplined in habit, undisciplined in study. Wala siyang problem sa view. Alam niya, para sa Panginoon ang pag-aaral niya. Alam niya na ito ay makadiyos na gawain. Pero wala siyang disiplina. At saan makikita ang kawalan ng disiplina? Wasteful time management. Lagi niya sasabihin, kulang ang oras. Hindi. I'll tell you, if there is an absolute equality of all men and women, it's time. Because we all have 24 hours a day. Walang merong 25 hours or 26 hours or less. All of us have 24 hours a day. It's just a matter of how you manage it. And many fail to manage their time, so they waste it. Instead of studying, they watch TV, Korean telenovela, or Filipino, or... naaksaya. Naaksaya ang oras. Sasabihin nila, wala akong panahong mag-aral. Actually, meron, ginamit mo lang sa iba. Ginamit mo sa ibang aktibidad. Then, lose concentration. Oh, nagbukas nga siya ng book, pero kung ano-ano naman ang iniisip, ilan na ba nag-like sa aking post? So wasak din, hindi siya makafocus doon sa kanya. Yun ang lack of discipline. Now, let's again refresh ourselves. We are accountable to God for our time. Don't ever miss that principle. Yung paggamit mo ng oras, iniisip mo, babawiin ko na lang, pero sinayang mo na, hindi nababalik yun. Again, time is the one ingredient of life that comes only once. Every unit of time comes only once and will not return. So what you do of it is accountable to God. Then, discipline, take note, it's the same word with discipleship. Therefore, how you discipline yourself equals how you are as a disciple. That's as simple as that. And etong isang principle sa discipline. We often think of discipline as ability to follow a program. Gagawa ka ng schedule, then kung masunod mo yung discipline person ka na. No, it does not begin with a program. It does not begin with a schedule. It begins with character. And that character is self-denial. Self-denial means saying no to something that you like, but must say no to do something that you are duty-bound to do. That's self-denial. Saying no to something you like, watching TV, indulging in too much sleep or rest, you like doing that, but self-denial means say no because I need to do something. So in other words, self-discipline ultimately boils down to character, not a program. Hindi kita mabibigyan ng isang schedule na kapag sinunod mo, will guarantee that you will become disciplined. No, there's no such program that exists. It begins with how you can say no. And alam nyo, yan ay carried pa rin, hindi lang sa pag-aaral. Prayer life. You cannot be disciplined in your prayer life when you only pray when prompted by mood or perhaps prompted by need. You have to make it a self-denying activity so that it becomes a habit. So itong sabi ng Panginoon, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Some think of the cross to mean suffering. Kaya nagsasuffer sila, ito ang cross ko. Bumagsak ang grade nila, ang bigat ng cross ko. Na ex. Hindi yun ang bearing the cross. Kaya nga sinabi daily. Hindi sinasabi riyan, mag-suffer ka daily. It means saying no to yourself, crucifying yourself, so that you don't do what you like, but do what is your duty to do. That's self-denial. That's bearing the cross. And that is the secret of real discipline. Ngayon, baligtari natin. Why are some Christian students excellent but not committed? Hindi mo halos makita sa church. Well, una, there is a false notion sa kanila. The false notion, yung ating lagi inuulit-ulit, sinasabi nila, you can only be one, not both. So, kinumbinsin nila ang sarili nila, kung talagang mag-excel ako sa aking pag-aaral, hindi ko pwedeng ibigay ang malaking oras ko sa church. Hindi ko maaaring ibigay ang malaking oras ko sa ministry. Kailangan mamili ako. So that's their notion. And the way to answer that is to simply say, God requires both of Christians. Yan ang inaasahan ng Panginoon nating Diyos sa atin kung tayo ay estudyante. Then, there are Christians who prove that one can be both. So, hindi totoo na you can only choose one. So, narinig natin yung ating dalawang national academicians who have proved that one can excel and at the same time be faithful in church. And there are many of you here who prove that. You can say that by the grace of God, you have tried to excel without giving up on the church, on Christian ministry, on private disciplines as a Christian. And that is precisely what Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 is saying. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So, itatak natin to sa ating isip. Whatever your hand finds to do, and you have in your hand both your academics and your Christian responsibilities. And to say that I can only give all my might in one is to belie what the Word of God is saying. So there is something false in the notion that it is a choice. No, it is not a choice. Then there is also fear. The fear is there is not enough time and energy. Sabihin, talagang pakiramdam nila, ako yung tao na naka-focus lang sa isa. At hindi ko magawa na mag-focus sa dalawa. So, pag naggamit ako ng oras, ibubuso ang energy ko doon, wala na para sa iba. So, yung maraming ganyan na ibubuso raw yung sarili nila sa kanilang pag-aaral, pero nagkaka-boyfriend, nagkaka-girlfriend, at nakaka-extracurricular, hindi totoo. So we all are able to multitask in many things that we deem important. So ang sagot dito ay, time is a gift of God. He can extend, He can withhold, based on how we use the time that is given to us. And there is a promised strength for every duty. Yan ang kaya kailangan ng isang estudyante na diin ito ng ating dalawang nagturo sa atin. Pray. They both stress the importance of the Christian student praying. Huwag kang self-reliant. Huwag kang umasa lang sa galing mo. You need to ask for the strength that God has promised. And that is a promise of God. Remember the principle of the Sabbath. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Observe this God-imposed proportion of our days. One day, give to the Lord. 6 days, you have your work, you have your academics, which you use, which you spend under the Lord, but you must accept the God-given proportion of our days. Dito, maraming sumasablay, hindi lang mga estudyante. Kung kilalanin natin ito, mas mapapalusog natin ang ating buhay Kristiyano sa halip na nagpapakasigasig tayo sa ating trabaho na nawawala ang ating pang-espiritual. Ang sabi ng Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Do you claim this promise? Every day I feel the need for sustenance of strength in all that I do. And this is one promise that we can invoke na gamitin natin sa ating pag-aaral. And then, finally, they use a front. So, tatlo yun. False, fear, front. A front nila is to say, study is priority now, commitment later. Ang ibig nilang sabihin, this is what the Lord expects of me. This is what I do for the Lord now. After my study, yes, I'll be committed, I'll be active in church, but right now, what the Lord expects of me is to flourish in my study. So I am pleasing the Lord by being a good student, even though that entails not too active in church. Oh, that is a front. ang sagot natin yan, your priority is not your study. You're a Christian. And as a Christian, there was a revolutionizing of our priorities when we were converted. Binago. In fact, we will become a better student if we make God our priority. Hindi ito choice na if we make God our priority, we will become mediocre as a student. That is not true. God is your priority. Let your relationship with God flourish and it will spill over into your study. And to excel without commitment betrays a wrong motive. Bakit ka ba nag-aaral? Para makakuha ng good grades, para pagkatapos mo, magandang trabaho mo. Can't you get higher than that? Can't you have a motive higher than a good position in your career? You're a Christian. You're supposed to have been revolutionized by grace. Eh kung hanggang doon lang ang motibo mo, makatapos, makaahon sa kahirapan, etc., there's nothing Christian there. Any unbeliever can have the same motive. How are you different? So, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now take note the next verse. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. So, give no offense. Ibig sabihin yan, dun sa mga hindi mananampalatayang Hudyo, sa mga hindi mananampalatayang Griego, huwag kayong maging katitisuran. Kung nagtatrabaho kayo para sa kanila o nag-aaral kayo para sa kanila, huwag kang magiging katitisuran na nakikita nilang wala kang kahusayan. Pero, kasama rin ang church. Give no offense to the church. And if you are mediocre in your church involvement, then you are giving offense to the church. So, ibig sabihin talagang involved ang lahat. To unbelievers as well as to fellow believers, give no offense. That is what it means to do all things to the glory of God. So, therefore, my conclusion is the Christian student should be excellent and committed. Mababalance natin yan ang graces and gifts. Kung puro studies ka lang, puro gifts lang ang ginagamit mo, and for unbelievers, you don't use your gifts for the church. And definitely, your graces are not developing. Then, a balance of service and knowledge, which there should be in the Christian. Hindi lang siya nag-absorb ng knowledge through his studies. He is serving the kingdom of God. And there is joyfulness and discipline. Joyfulness because of a clear conscience na nagawa mo ang dapat mong tuparin bilang estudyante para sa Panginoon. But joyfulness with discipline. There are times when you discipline yourself that it does not feel good. But then, it is compensated by a clear conscience. You have done what is expected of you. And that is joy. Joy, remember, is not happiness. Joy is the assurance that God is pleased, that God approves of what you are doing. And this is what 1 Peter 5:7, that we can again use as promise, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And I know the student life has many of its cares and anxieties. But that's where your being a Christian helps. You have something that non-Christian students can never have. You can cast all your cares upon Him. I have said I made a mess of my college days, but I had another chance. And you may be asking, what right do you have to talk about student days? Well, this is me in my dorm when I was studying in London Theological Seminary. The only sabbatical I had from the church, 1988 to 1989, and it was rigorous study.
You have to study biblical languages, Hebrew and Greek, with other academic subjects of theology and requirements where mahigpit. But by the grace of God, I managed. And I am very thankful for all that I have learned. Kaya lang yung lahat ng notes ko from LTS, nung nagka-undoy, binaha. Yun ang iniyakan ko. Now, all my notes are gone, but I have them in my mind. And they are still helping me in my pastorate. So, in conclusion, can one be both? I hope you can answer with me, yes. A Christian student should be both excellent and committed. Any question? Or testimony ng mga estudyante o dating mga estudyante na you want to share? Yes, Pish. Go ahead.
Pastor, ano po? Meron po akong personal approach to duties that are usually unpleasant to do, like studies or work. Iniisip ko po siya as a tool or device for sanctification. It's like something that will help me become holier or closer to God. Student life for me, parang kung sa gantong context, it's something that I can utilize in order to become holier or to know God more. Ask ko lang po kung meron po bang dangers dun sa ganong klaseng thinking or approach? Or parang, ano po yung opinion niyo sa ganong pag-iisip?
It is right to think that through what you are doing, you will become better. You will improve. You will progress. It's part of the motivation na nakakapag-persevere tayo sa isang something initially is unpleasant, yet we strive because we believe that through this, I'll be a better person. Nothing wrong with that as such. But strive to be a better person because it pleases God rather than when you are better because you're better than someone else. It must be a better person for the pleasure of God, for the glory of God, not in comparison to others. Other thoughts? The questions or thoughts, testimonies ng inyong experience in your study, Mikaya.
Siguro additional insight po kasi medyo science-dominated yung mga naging examples natin. Also because siguro mas marami dito science students or in the science field. But I remember, parang lagi naman kasi nating nadidiscuss to sa Sunday schools with slightly different angles. Pero I remember the blessing to me of the teaching here sa church about excellence and yung witness, na you don't have to be directly evangelizing all the time for that to be witness. Sa field ko, sa field of study, isang nagiging struggle ko noon at saka nung ibang mga fellow Christians na sa course ko ay so pag magsusulat ako ng story, kailangan may tungkol sa Lord, tungkol sa may ganyang drift. Pag magsusulat ako ng play, ng tula, or pag magpa-perform ako sa isang play, dapat ba yung may gospel relevance or ganyan? If I'm gonna perform a song or compose a piece of music, does it have to declare the gospel? Parang ganun yung drift eh. Tapos nung nagtithesis na kami, or there was a time na some course mates would sit with me and we would talk about thesis ideas, parang nababurden sila na dapat yung susulat nilang kwento ay maipaliwanag ba yung gospel or whatever. And then we discuss also na hindi naman, if you're a writer, if that's your field of study, you're gonna paint, make a piece of art, or you're gonna compose a song or even perform a song, you don't have to perform a hymn to be bearing witness or be an excellent singer or in your vocation to give glory to God. If you do your best, whether that be through a hymn composed or a song or a secular song or something that's not necessarily directly about the Bible, about God, you can still be a good Christian student giving glory to God.
Well, exactly. This is, again, the error of hyper-spirituality. Na they think the only time that you are being spiritual is when your work directly contributes to gospel witness, heavenly worship, church activity, and nothing about creation, nothing about common grace. And I totally disagree. Some stories of C.S. Lewis are just for children. Children enjoy, and they're good. And only some will try to read some deep meaning to his stories. But really, it was for the positive response ng children sa kanyang mga stories. Nothing directly gospel. But he has written books that were directly apologetic for Christianity and gospel witness. You can do both. You don't need to make your work in the academe something directly relates to worship, because there's common grace, there is creation, there is general revelation. Yes, Grace.
Hello po. Pastor, ano po yung views nyo about homeschooling? Homeschooling po. So may makakilala po ako sa mga colleagues sa work na ayun, ginagamit na yung homeschooling para sa anak nila. Parang ano yung mga limitations and yung pros and cons po about homeschooling?
Homeschooling is a valid option. We did not, as parents of Jaire, nung kabata pa siya, we did not take that option because we believe that it would be better for him to experience what the world is like while being trained in the home. Now, others think that the experience of the child with the world should be suspended for as long as possible, so they choose homeschooling. I respect that as a valid option. Go ahead.
Kasi po, Pastor, nung student ako, meron po akong verse na parang yun yung natanim sa akin na you can serve two masters at a time. So parang, ano po ba yung pinakang point ng Bible verse na yun?
Well, ibig sabihin lang, no, it's Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve two masters, and the two masters in view are the Lord, God, or mammon, money, material things. Hindi ito choice ng which school you study in, kundi a choice of orientation of your life. You cannot be materially oriented and at the same time be oriented to God and to His kingdom. So yun ang two masters that are irreconcilable, not unbelieving school as against a believing teacher. Yes.
Natutuwa po ako sa pagpapahalaga ng church sa being a Christian student, and pati yung mga nauna, si Brother Glenn tsaka si Brother Rex, ay natututo din kami. Ang akin pong tanong ay paano naman po kaya kung yung testimony naman ng, kasi for sure marami din sa atin na mga estudyante na nag-struggle. Yung ganun po, kasi parang, naku, hindi ko naman kaya yung kay Academician Glenn, Academician Rex. Hirap naman nun. Paano po kaya kung nasa stage na yung nag-struggle siya, at the same time napagtagumpayan niya, kung napagtagumpayan na niya, pwede po kaya ding magkaroon tayo ng ganung, kung hindi man sa Sunday school or any other venue, na makatulong din sa mga estudyante?
Hindi ko rin kaya yung maging Rex or Glenn, but kaya yung definition natin ng excellent ay doing the best according to your gifts. We are not asking for outstanding results. We are not asking for honors. We are just asking, do your best. So, but maganda yung suggestion ni Tess na magkaroon sa church ng mga may kahusayan sa particular subjects and then maturuan yung mga nag-i-struggle sa ganung subjects. Let's say math, you're good in math, that is your expertise, and then there are people here who still struggle counting 1 to 20. Pwedeng maturuan sila sa iba, science, or whatever expertise we have in possession among our members. Maganda yung point na maturuan yung mga nag-i-struggle sa ganung subjects. Tess, go ahead.
In addition po, marami din po sa atin ng mga bata na nalulong din po sa mga nakaka-addict na games. Paano kaya naman yung magulang i-encourage or basta po, napaka bigat po na isipin na paano kaya itong sa age natin na to ma-encourage yung mga bata natin para nga po, kasi related po yun sa failure in academics sometimes. And exactly. Kung paano mag-react yung mga magulang din.
Oh, ma-identify natin yun doon sa wasteful time management. Kung meron kang fixation sa video games, sa gadget mo, social media, doon ka talagang nakatutok at dahil sa pagtutok doon, hindi mo nagagawa ang iyong pag-aaral, then you need help and seek help so that somebody may mentor you and you may be accountable to someone. Usually, ang ganyan, hindi niya kakayaning magbago ng sarili. Kailangan niya ng mentoring. So, we need that. Siguro, someone who has a burden on that may want to organize something in our church in that direction. Liwai?
Hello. Pastor, I want to ask lang po dun sa sinabi niyo kanina where yung equality of time sa mga tao. Pero like as a student po kasi may teaching style po kasi na common sa university. May mga estudyante na yung learning style nila parallel dun sa style ng university, yung iba hindi. So some people have not only have different learning style, minsan may disabilities then. So they have to work twice as hard, three times as hard to get even half the grade of others. So therefore, they have less time for ministry. So ano pong masasabi niyo doon? And ayun po, yun na.
Yes, we have varying abilities, varying capacity in terms of catching up, understanding. Ang punto ko ng equality of time, we all have 24 hours. What you do of those 24 hours will be, of course, proportioned to how much you need of time in order to be able to catch up dun sa inyong lesson, which means the more time you need, the less time you should spend in non-necessary activities like TV watching, socializing, etc. Pero you still have 24 hours. Yun ang point ng we all have equality of time, but some may need more for study than others. At titingnan mo, you will have to look at the time wasters in your day-to-day. Maaari hindi mo na nakasanayan mo na gusto na manood ng TV, pero when you really make an account of it, it's a time waster. O kung matulog ka, 3 hours lang after nag-alarm. So, natulog ka na ng buo, nag-alarm, pinatay mo, naka-3 hours ka pa, another time waster. So, you need to identify your time wasters. And some may have earned yung kanilang relaxation, but for others who need more time, they may have to have less of such relaxation. But yun ang isang importante sa self-examination natin. What are your time wasters? Minsan yung time waster, nakatunga nga lang, nagde-daydreaming o nag-iisip pero walang fruit You need to identify the time wasters and really discipline yourself. Daniel?
Question ko po ay, we believe that our God has already planned everything since the beginning. So we believe that. So how should this affect our pursuit of excellence in our vocation and our involvement in God's kingdom?
Now we need to balance that, yung tinatawag na God's decree and predestination. We believe that, but we need to balance that with your responsibility, with your sense of individual choices. Sa'yo yun. Now, kung may mangyaring beyond your control, that's when you use that particular doctrine. Something happened beyond your control. Well, you can say, this is according to God's will. Ano kayang dapat kong gawin? Anong dapat kong matutunan? Anong dapat kong maging response? So don't use the doctrine of predestination to be a cop out of personal responsibility and choices. Use it for events beyond your control. Napunta ka sa teacher na terror, eh baka maganda para sa iyo yun. O napunta ka sa teacher na challenge pakinggan, again, beyond your control yun. Then ask, anong pwede kong gawin para dito, because this is something God has permitted. So that's where you actually apply a doctrine like that. Other thoughts? Yes. IE, no? IE.
Ang nakikita ko pong pinagdadaanan ng maraming estudyante, at actually pinagdaanan ko din, na challenge to being excellent ay yung madami kasing estudyante at the age na nag-college sila, hindi nila alam yung course nilang gusto talaga. Or parang hindi pa nila alam kung ano talaga gagawin. So, paano po ito ma-address para pagdating sa age na yun sana ay mas alam na, handa na yung mga estudyante talaga na mag-aral?
Well, kaya nga, ang system, at least during my time, the system was your first 2 years ay general course, general education. And para may time ka pang mamili o mag-shift. But by high school, a person should already have an idea where he wants to be. Bata pa lang nga, medyo may idea na siya na nag-build as he grows older. But then, dyan puli papasok yung advice, mentoring. Yung iba, pumupunta na lang sa direksyon kung saan nagpunta ang father nila. Sumusunod sa yapa kahit hindi yun ang talagang gusto nila o gift nila. You need to make your own choice as far as your career is concerned. And by high school, that choice should be already developing. Myla?
I just want to say 2 things in relation to what was asked. And to Ate Tess' suggestion, which is very nice, na magkaroon ng parang tutorials or something organized by the church. Sana mas maging aware tayo na maraming tulong na manggagaling sa school o sa universidad o galing sa gobyerno. For example, sa DepEd, meron silang evaluation na pwedeng gawin sa bata para mag-guide siya kung ano ang strengths niya, parang sa term natin, ano yung gifts niya. And then, makakapag-suggest doon kung anong fields ang pwede niyang i-consider. And it's also true kahit sa university, there is our student union and they have lots of services na pwede nating puntahan. Kasi siguro, we want to avoid din na yung sobrang nagduduplicate ang mga trabaho. Meron namang epesyente na services na pwede nating pakinabangan kahit sabihin hindi naman mga Kristiyano yung nag-a-administer noon. So, it's the same dun sa mga tutorials. And sana, mga estudyante rin, magandang mag-consult din tayo sa mga kapatiran, but there is help available in terms of, parang yung sinabi ni Glenn na inabala niya ng husto pala si Ate Jean sa thesis niya. So, that's one good help from a kapatid. But may mga tutorials, and isang sana mag-benefit yung mga UP students at least yung anong tawag doon, Liway, yung you can go to your teacher for consultation. Yun. Kasi part yun ng binabayaran ng mga estudyante at least sa UP, part ng binabayaran ng gobyerno para sa ating mga serbisyo. Dapat yung mga teacher ay kinakatok natin at tayo ay mag-consult sa kanila.
Okay, thank you. That's a good advice. Siguro, alamin ninyo sa inyong college kung anong available na ganung consultation or help. Liway?
Hello. Ano pong masasabi niyo sa mga estudyante na gusto, may desire mag-serve sa ministry? Kahit, let's say, balance yung life nila, they're doing well in their ACADS, ano, pero restrained sila ng parents nila, whether they be Christian or not. Parang restrained to the bare minimum or none at all. Dahil makaka-affect sa ACADS nila or whatever reason po.
When I am approached, and I've been approached several times by men who want to be pastors, I advise them, finish college. Prove your worth. Prove your readiness by finishing college. Only in circumstances na very rare na I can accept someone who is college years and then enter the ministry. But as much as possible, I would advise a man to finish college. Go ahead.
Not necessarily po to become a pastor, just ministry po sa church. That's what I mean.
Oy, dapat meron siyang involvement at least in one ministry of the church. Kaya yun ang isang definition natin ng faithful in your Christian life, because members, according to Ephesians 4, all members, every Christian has a gift to be used for the upbuilding of the body. And to fail to use that gift is unfaithfulness. Kaya meron ka dapat i-define na ministry sa church, but marami tayong ministry na I'm sure one of those will need your gift. And faithfulness demands that you contribute to the progress of the church through your gift. Last thoughts, Ina.
Gusto ko lang pong magpasalamat sa Panginoon, Pastor, sa lessons and sa church po natin na indeed natuturuan po tayo ng mga ganitong bagay. Personal testimony po, sa ngayon po kasi ay by God's providence, student din po ako. So nakaka-relate po ako dun sa mga estudyante. Talagang napakalaking bagay po na tayo po ay natuturuan. Ang personal framework po natin ay kanina po nasabi, simula sa bahay and then sa institutions and sa church. Napakalaking influence po sa atin nito, and talagang salamat po sa Panginoon kasi yung vocation po na accountability po natin sa Panginoon ay ginagamit po niya yung mga natututunan po natin. And sa ngayon po yung sa pag-aaral ko, binuksan po ng Panginoon lalo yung mata ko sa ano ba yung nangyayari talaga. Ano po yung, aside from our accountability to God, is our social accountability to people, to men, and yung ating compassion for the lost. And yun po ay yung sa ethics po ngayon, alam ko na yun, tayo po ay merong yung code of ethics po natin ay nanggagaling po mismo sa Biblia. So kaya na dapat po talagang mabalansi yung pag-attend po natin dun sa means of grace, and at the same time yung application po nung ating napag-aaralan sa school na maa-apply po natin paglabas po natin, whether kung tayo po ay kung magulang, kung estudyante, kung ano po yung, kung sa trabaho, lahat po yun, nakikita ko po ang Panginoon dun sa mga pinag-aaralan ko, yung sa development, managerial leadership, public ethics. Talaga pong sabi ko, lahat, yun pong dilema nung sa focus and sa discipline, sa time management, parang pag inisip ko po na nanay ako, nagtatrabaho, nag-aaral. Pero pag nilingon ko, ginawa ng Panginoon ng time ang lahat, and kung ginawa mo po yung alam mong duty mo, the Lord will reward po yung iyong labor sa lahat, kahit na po saan mo yun in-spend yung time mo. So talagang salamat po sa Panginoon. Yun po lahat ay sa biyaya lang po niya. Hindi po yun kaya ng isang tao, hindi po yun kaya ng isang Kristiyano apart from the grace of God. And indeed, totoo po yung lagi ko pong kiniklaim that the Lord will never leave us, nor He will never forsake us. He is our strength and He is our ever-present help in times of trouble.
Anong so, course mo?
Development management po.
Okay. So, this is applicable sa lahat ng stages ng life natin. Hindi lang sa pag-aaral. Discipline is a must in the Christian life. And the point I want to make is that discipline is attainable by every Christian by the grace of God, because God will not require of us something that He will not give grace for us to do. So, meron pa? Glenn.
Short lang. Siguro address na rin sa lahat. Baka sabihin nyo yung mga tumindig dyan or ganun. Pag-aralan natin who are the students, or sa amin kasi, hindi naman talaga yung gusto namin ang advice ng sa mga estudyante. Hindi yung pinakagusto namin ang nakuha namin. Anong kurso namin gusto ko? Akong gustong-gusto ko maging engineer. Hindi ko nakuha yon. Next na gusto ko maging genetic engineer. Hindi ko rin nakuha yon. Talagang medical doctor, ginugusto ko rin yun. Naging lawyer, ginugusto ko rin yun. Ang ibig ko sabihin, kung anong binigay ng Panginoon, pagkakataong binigay ng Panginoon yun, learn to love it and excel kaya doon. Kung ibinigay sa iyo, ito talagang nangyari, ito lang ang kaya ng magulang natin, ito lang agriculture lang talaga ang maibigay sa iyo, then you love it, then you excel. Sabi nga ni Pastor, love is a decision. Pwede mo rin yung gamitin sa pag-ibig. Pag namahal mo isang tao, you decide to love the person. It's an intellectual love. You love the course. Kahit minsan ayaw sa akin talaga. Hirap na hirap talaga ako sa genetics. But I learned to love it. Kahit ayaw sa akin, nagkaigi sila. Ibig sabihin, you learn to love it. Kung inulit yung aralin yun, ilalim yung namamaster siya. So I think kung isipin mo si Rex man o ako or sino mang si Jean man o sino man sa inyo, makita nyo na kung anong kursong binigay, kung anong makayanan, punin nyo yon at yon ang magiging mahaling learn to love it. Just to give you an example, hindi ko naman hiniling na maging professor ako. Hindi ko naman hiniling maging with my present job as a director. Actually, nasabi ko siguro sa iba na when I got the job as a director, may mas gustong job na sumabay doon, na pinaka-dream job ko. Inayakan ko yon, but I have to get this other job na yung isa. Ayoko na lang sabihin, baka maingit kayo, but it's a dream job, but ito yung kinuha mo. Ibig sabihin, you learn to love it, and yun ang sinasabi ko. Anong course nyo, hindi ko naman to gusto but you have to learn to love it. Yun ang binigay ng Panginoon, and then yun part ng discipline.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn. That's a good counsel. Love what the Lord has given you. You will not always get what you want, but the Lord will give you something that you initially do not want, but learn to love it. I wanted to be a lawyer, but the Lord called me otherwise. And now, I will not exchange it for any other calling. So love what the Lord has given to you. Good advice. Other thoughts? Mayla?
Salamat po doon sa masarap na pagkain sa ating Sunday school. Kahit nasa ganitong edad na ako, nai-enjoy ko pa rin makinig. And looking back, naalala ko yung blessing na we've heard this in different ways bilang mga estudyante rin na may mga struggles noon. And it really helped us sa aming Christian walk noon and hanggang ngayon. Ang tanong ko, Pastor, sorry, I came late sa Sunday school. Hindi ko alam kung na-touch na to. Ano pong iti-take home nung mga estudyante na hindi Kristiyano? Because they can take it as, hindi naman ako Kristiyano, hindi ako required mag-excel. Or maybe I should just delay considering being a Christian. Or baka napepeste na yung ibang bata na kinukulit ng mga magulang na Kristiyano na you do your best. Then sa mind nila, pang-Kristiyano lang naman yan. paano po nila yon kukunin yung mensahe?
Well, even unbelievers, they have the means to excel. In fact, we are seeing excellent unbelievers in their studies. What they do not have is the Lord for whom they should spend their study. So yun ang wala sa kanila. Wala sa kanila ang committed part because there is no one they can commit themselves to, and that's what they need. And I hope, kaya sinabi ni Myla, I hope you count yourself blessed that you are taught this. How I wish I was taught this when I was young. I wasn't. And I made a mess of my college days. But you are taught this. Count yourself blessed. And I hope you live it out. Be an excellent and committed student. So let us close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, aming mahabaging Ama, nagpapasalamat kami na matalakay namin ang ganitong paksa sa panahon ng pag-aaral ng mga estudyante dito at sa mga Kristiyanong estudyante. We pray, Lord, that they may seek both to excel and to be committed. May they not be diverted by an unbalanced teaching concerning worldliness or vocation, but grant that they would truly see their present studies as their vocation and a vocation that they would give account to you. We pray that they will learn to exercise discipline, and discipline means to make use of our time without wasting it in the unnecessary things. Grant that we may have the character of self-denial, that we may be able to give ourselves to tasks and duties that may be initially unwelcome, but will have its fruition in the future. So grant us, Lord, students who are Christians here, to be excellent and to be committed. And for those who are not yet in Christ, may they realize that whatever they achieve or accomplish without the Lord will one day be of nothing for eternity. Grant them, Lord, to know the Lord Jesus and to study in commitment to Him and spend their student days with joy because they have their Lord and Savior. So we commit all this to you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.